chapter 1. We're continuing our exposition of the book of Titus, Paul's letter to this pastor, this elder. And we're currently going through the qualifications that Paul gives for an elder, pastor, bishop. All of those terms are synonymous. And thus far, we've gone through verse 6. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, marital fidelity, family faithfulness, for a bishop must be blameless. He is reiterating again how important it is that the character of the man of God who leads the church of God be free of public scandal or immorality. He must be blameless. As the steward of God, one who has the charge and a responsibility to carry out, he must do that faithfully. Not self-willed. The man of God has to be led by the Holy Spirit, by the truth of the Word of God. He cannot, he must not seek out his own agenda or his own self-interest. He cannot be self-willed. Not soon angry. He's got to be a man of even temper. Not given to wine. He cannot be someone who is intemperate with regards to alcohol. And this brings us to the place where we take up tonight. No striker not given to filthy lucre. The pastor must not be a striker. He cannot be one who is given to fighting. Or even quarreling. Now, it was not uncommon in days gone by to settle disputes by physical fighting. You'd say, put your dukes up and go at it. But the term here, I believe, also has definite application to the way in which a pastor talks. And the way in which he preaches. It can apply to the use of cruel and vicious words, where an individual strikes or lashes out at another by the things that they say. A pastor must definitely be a man who has control of his tongue, so as not to use the pulpit as a whipping post to give a tongue lashing to those who may disagree with him. It goes right along with the idea of not being self-willed. When conflicts arise within the church, and it's bound to happen. I mean, you've got, let's face it, a church is made up of sinners. So there will be conflicts at different times, and the pastor has to do what he can to settle things when called upon in a civilized and in a peaceful manner. There is nothing worse in a church gathering when somebody starts shoving, pushing, fighting. Have you ever been in the midst of that? Now, I never have. I haven't had it here at Mount Pleasant. I've worried a time or two about Joe. But his wife tamped him down quite a bit and kept him. No, I'm just teasing. I shouldn't do the pastors. The Lord's going to add a new one. Don't tease so much. But the fact of the matter is, there are churches where I mean, it's almost they have knockdown, drag out fights. Brother Cockrell told me of times in his pastorate where they bring their guns to business meetings, you know. And I thank God that we've never had to settle a dispute like that. But I believe that a pastor cannot be given to meanness of speech. He cannot have a quarrelsome attitude or have an attitude of retaliation when he is provoked. He cannot be a striker. Now, if you've heard preachers preach through the years, you've heard men that were strikers. That if they felt that they had been personally offended or attacked or something was directed at them, they'll get up and preach against you or against your family or against another preacher. You can't be a striker. You cannot preach that way. The purpose of a pastor is to edify, to build up, to preach the truth. Now, yes, he's going to preach against sin, but he has to do it in a way that is right according to God's Word. So he cannot be a striker. He can't be a fighter. And then it says the pastor must not be given to filthy lucre. Now, you know, the Bible says that money is the root of all evil, doesn't it? No, it doesn't. It says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And here this means that a pastor, he can't be given to filthy lucre. In other words, his pursuit in life cannot be to always to be covetous or greedy of gain or always chasing a buck. Every pastor has a right to earn a living and to provide for his family's needs. The laborer is worthy of his hire. There is nothing wrong with that, but the pursuit and the accumulation of material gain must not dominate his life. He has to be single-minded. He's got to do the work of the Lord. He's got to trust God to give him the ability to provide for his family and do what's right. But you know, a pastor, I've been preaching for 30-some years. I haven't run into too many preachers that were millionaires. Definitely none that were billionaires. Most of the pastors that I know have to learn how to manage their finances and live within their means. So a man who is contemplating the gospel ministry must realize that it is not a calling that generates vast amounts of money. Generally speaking, he has to be willing to be content with what the Lord provides and learn to live within his means. And a lot of times, you may be called upon to work with your own hands. You may be called upon to work in addition to the pastorate, and that requires discipline. It requires dedication. Discipline of your time, your efforts, your resources. And it's a difficult thing to do. But I know a lot of men that have done it. I've done it at different times in my ministry. But you can't be just always going after filthy lucre. And then it says that the pastor must be a lover of hospitality, meaning that he's willing to help those that are in need, friends or strangers, believers as well as unbelievers. It may include providing a visitor with a clean or comfortable place to stay, sharing a meal, offering a word of encouragement. All these things relate to a genial, hospitable manner. A pastor must be committed to offering practical help to those in need by using his time and his resources. Galatians 6:10, As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. You've got to be committed to serving other people. You've got to try to help and encourage and serve where you can and be an example to other people. So certainly this idea of being hospitable and kind and gracious has to do with the way you treat people. You can't be mean. You can't be hateful. You can't be standoffish. You have to pastor people. So it's vital that the man of God learn how to deal with people. How to be a blessing. And then it says the pastor must be a lover of good men. In verse 8, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. That would imply that he has to be careful concerning those whom he associates with. He must not be found in the company of the ungodly who blaspheme God and despise God's good ways except as a witness. Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The pastor must take delight in the company of the godly and enjoy the fellowship of the saints. He should be known as a friend of the virtuous who love the good things of God and who walk in His ways. I'll tell you, a pastor can do a lot of damage to a congregation if he's out carousing with people who hate the Lord, despise God. It ought not to be that way. He has to be a lover of good men, men of character. And then it says he must be sober. And I take that to mean level-headed. Having a sound mind. He has to be in control of his mind and have the ability to think things through to arrive at right decisions. It means that he must be prudent, humble, thoughtful. He cannot afford to be influenced by those things that are trivial, foolish, and unproductive. He must be given to the thoughtful meditation upon holy things if he is to effectively feed the church of God. So he has to be serious in his study habits so as to retain the knowledge that he regularly takes in. Sober, thoughtful, diligent in his study habits. And then have the ability to bring forth that which he studied. You need to pray for pastors to have clear minds, sober minds, where they have the ability to not only take in the Word of God for themselves, but to communicate it in such a way that people can understand it. It's vital. It's important. And certainly, this goes right along with not being given to much wine. I mean, somebody that uses alcohol, it affects your mind. Even a little bit can affect the way you think, how you act, your memory, and so on. So again, I'm not in the camp of the Reformed and those who say that it's okay, go ahead, be a social drinker. I don't believe that's God's way. Be sober. Be thoughtful. Be judicious in your thinking. And then it says that the pastor must be just. That simply means righteous and fair in his conduct. He must be upright in his dealings with men. A pastor cannot be known as a man who cheats at business or who fails to pay his debts. He has to be a man committed to observing the laws of God. The law is good. It's just. It's holy. It's righteous. A pastor ought to delight in the law. And he must treat other men fairly and with respect. These are all, I tell you, it's a serious thing to be called into the ministry and to have the charge of any congregation, whether large or small or medium. It's still a holy charge, a holy responsibility. You must be just. I've known pastors who have ruined their ministries because they were dishonest or they were unfair in their dealings with people. They could preach an eloquent sermon in the pulpit and then contradict everything they preached by the way they lived, the way they acted, the way they carried themselves, the way they interacted with others. We as pastors need to heed the advice of the old Puritan Richard Baxter. He wrote he had a book called The Reformed Pastor. And he says this, "Old brethren, watch therefore over your own hearts. Keep out lusts and passions of worldly inclinations. Keep up the life of faith, of love, of zeal. Be much at home and much with God. Take heed to yourselves, lest your example contradict your doctrine. Lest you unsay with your lives what you say with your tongues and be the greatest hinderers of the success of your own labors. One proud, surly, lordly word, one needless contention, one covetous action may cut the throat of many a sermon and blast the fruit of all that you have been doing. Let your lives condemn sin and persuade men to duty." Wow. That is quite a charge. And then it says that the pastor must be holy or devout, pious. Meaning that his life must consistently evidence the pursuit of purity and holiness in thoughts and words and actions. He must be a man devoted to the study of the one book that makes you holy, the Holy Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, as well as the application of the principles that are contained therein in his daily walk. Holiness can only be cultivated and maintained through fellowship with God, in the study of his word, and in prayer, and in worship. And every pastor should be able to say with Paul, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." Now, a pastor should never be self-righteous or have a holier-than-thou attitude. He should never draw attention to himself and say, "Look how holy I am. You ought to be more like me." His goal is to be more like Christ and to urge other people to be more like Christ. Our Lord is our grandest, most glorious, wonderful example. He is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. We ought to strive and desire as pastors and members of the Lord's churches to be holy like God is holy. When a pastor lives an unholy life, he gives the enemies of God occasion to blaspheme. He sets a bad example for the people that he is supposed to be leading in the paths of holiness. So again, there are several things involved in these qualifications for the pastorate. And you need to constantly, as the Lord brings pastors to your mind, surely me, since I'm your pastor, but there are literally hundreds of churches. You need to pray that God will fill those men of God with His Spirit, with the truth of His Word, and give them character, and give them a desire to lead the flock of God and to feed them the truth in a way that's right and just and holy. It is a big job. It's a huge responsibility. It is a solemn task. And then the last thing that we're going to deal with tonight, and I want you to see just how much Paul hones in on this. Twice he said, you need to be blameless. He said, you need to elders, pastors, bishops. You can't be given to much wine. You have to be sober. You can't be a striker. You can't be self-willed, and you can't be ill-tempered. All these things have to do with self-control. Control, you have to be controlled by the Lord. You have to live a life that is tamed by the Holy Spirit of God. You can't fly off the handle. You could ruin your whole ministry by doing something stupid. And the last thing he says, the pastor must be temperate or self-controlled in his daily walk. He must be able to control his fleshly passions and bodily appetites. He has to be careful to guard his conscience and strive to keep it pure in order to be effective by faithfully confessing his sins. Pastors are sinners. Paul himself said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from? He said, I die daily. He said, I bring my body under subjection. He said that I bring my thoughts into captivity to Christ. I believe pastors, they shouldn't smoke, drink, cuss, or chew. They shouldn't be guilty of overeating. Now, I've heard some guys really wax eloquent about not drinking, cussing, or anything else, and then eat four or five plates at the fellowship meal. And there ain't too many preachers that are brave enough to say something like that. You can't be a man given to appetite. All these things are bad habits that could serve to damage or hinder the testimony of the pastor. You know, it used to be a really big issue about, you know, now hardly anybody smokes anymore. You know, a lot of people don't smoke. Man, back in the 40s and 50s, it was almost like as soon as you could walk, they were giving you a camel. You know, it was just this way people were. And I think it really hurts pastors when they have those kinds of habits. And I remember my pastor always used to say, smoking won't send you to hell, but it'll sure make you smell like you've been there and back. But really, it's very similar to what he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That has to be the standard and the rule of conduct for every pastor. We have to follow the example of the Apostle Paul who said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 1 Corinthians 6:12 and 9:27. And I'll close tonight, because this is going to have to be a good place for us to stop, because next week we're going to look at what I consider to be the last of the qualifications here, the ability to teach truth and refute error. But I want to close with a quote from John Gill. He said, temperate in eating and drinking, continent from the lust of the flesh, and even abstaining from those things which might be lawfully used, though inexpedient, for the sake of the weak, the peace of the church, and the glory of God. Again, pray for preachers, for pastors, elders, bishops, however you want to identify them. They have a huge task, a huge responsibility. Pray that God will give them moral character, a hunger for the Word of God, for fellowship with God, and a desire to be a blessing to people. See, when the Lord gives you a church, it's not about the beauty of the message in your mind. Wow, this is going to be a great one. Man, I got all my points lined out, all my scriptures laid out. No, that's not it. It's not the beauty of what you have put together. It's how you can effectively bring it to people so that they can be helped. They can be encouraged, edified, convicted, blessed, whatever the need may be. You got to remember who you're pastoring, who you are ministering to. It's not you. It's them. The sheep. The flock of God. And the way that the man of God demonstrates his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, feed the sheep. Be concerned for their well-being. Spiritually. Emotionally. Pray for preachers. Let's all stand.
Page number 10.